price the doctor is in are also available. All single talks and programs are $9.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
I'm reading the marriage books. I'm trying to get to the point where, well, I'm just more sensitive. I am. My wife one time was all frustrated, and I started giving her advice, you know, what to do here, what to do there, what to do here. I missed it on all of it. She said to me, sometimes I just want to be hugged. I just want to be hugged and told everything's okay. I said, all right, I learned these things. You don't have to keep lecturing me. Yesterday, she went out, and on the minivan, the left rear tire was flat. Ray, yes, baby. So I came out, tire was flat. I looked at it, pondered it, and I'm learning my lessons. I said, honey, I think everything's going to be okay. And I gave her a hug, and I left for work. I don't know what these 9 text messages are. I haven't bothered to read them, but they don't sound pleasant. Good morning, Wes. Good afternoon. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In. My thanks to Colleen for filling in for me yesterday as I had some things I had to do. A couple of items of business here. For those of you in the Living Bread radio listening area, Stark County, Portage, Wayne, Summit, Father Larry Richards, many of you know Father Larry. He is frequently on your local stations or EWTN. He does a lot of missions around the country. He is at Queen of Heaven Parish in Green. He was there Monday night, Tuesday night, and he will be there tonight and tomorrow night. So if you want to go, it is free. Free will offerings taken on Thursday. They had a packed house both nights. Parish holds 600, 700, 800 people. Packed. So Father Larry is there. 877-573-7825. That's the number to call to get onto the program. Call-in program. I'm a psychologist. We talk about the stuff of life here. I don't psychologize here. I psychologize in the office. But we can talk. Give some options and ideas and thoughts. General education. Got that. Get that out of the way. Somebody will come into my office. Generally, I mean, I see the range of the human condition. But an awful lot of the calls I get are regarding children. Kids, adolescents. Mostly these are kids who are either behavior problems, difficult for their parents, and I work with the parents. Almost always work with the parents. That's where the change takes place. That's where you can get the most bang for your buck. A good percentage of the time, what is apparent, no pun intended, is that the problem in raising the kid is related to a problem in the marriage. As a result, it's not unusual for me to move the therapeutic goals, aims, to shift the approach from one of how do we better raise this child to one of how do we make our marriage better. And I do a lot of marriage counseling, a lot, over the years. As a result, I kind of was moved about a year and a half ago, and this was through the nagging of my editor at Servant Publications, Cindy Kavnar, delightful lady, she truly is. Without her, I probably wouldn't have approached some of these things because she kept gently nudging me to write a book on marriage. And the book on marriage has come out. It's called Marriage, Small Steps, big rewards. The premise of the book is this. We cannot have you restructure your personality. We cannot have you get fancy in your psychological approach. Most people won't do that. It's too hard. It's too protracted. It's too long. The gist of the book is there are small things you can do in a marriage, whether your marriage is healthy or whether it's struggling. There are small things you can do that have a dramatic effect on the marriage. These are tiny steps that anybody can take. You don't have to get counseling to motivate you to take them. And they reverberate throughout your marriage. I believe they'll make a good marriage better and a bad marriage mediocre, or maybe even better. Now, one of the problems in therapy is this. When people come in and tell you what the struggle is, generally, an experienced therapist knows what's a good direction to go. They don't lack for ideas. The much harder part of any kind of therapy is convincing people to do it. Now, you would think that would not be the problem. They're coming in, they want advice, their situations in life are not good. You'd think they would be open to change. Yes and no. They are open to change. Just certain kinds of change. Don't ask me to alter myself. And there are enormous resistances that you have to work your way through in any kind of counseling. You got to get past the person's resistance. If I tell a parent, do X with your child, but that parent feels guilty doing X, I got to work my way past the guilt or they'll never do X. If I tell a parent, do X, and they say, yeah, but I'm afraid that he'll hate me, well, I got to work my way past that before they'll do X. And so it is with marriage. These steps that I suggested are very simple, very basic, very level-headed common sense. In many marriages, they die out. They just simply drift. It's not that the marriage is bad. It's just that two people have lived together for a period of time, and they just don't do these things anymore. They just don't. Not because there's ill will, necessarily. Not because there is hostility, and there's no way I'm going to reach out to you. No. Oftentimes it's just a laziness, born of inertia, kind of a settled into a flatline relationship. And so I spend much of the book getting people past their resistance. For every step I suggest, I identify five or six of the most common resistances to doing that step. I call them resistance rationales. The book has come out a week or two ago. It is available on my website, drray.com. It's also available through St. Anthony Messenger Press. It's called Marriage. Small steps, big rewards. It was turf that I was a little nervous about venturing into because my wife very aptly pointed out to me, what do you know about a good marriage, Raymond? I said, I know, baby, but I'm learning from you, writing down the stuff you taught me over the years. I've been taking notes. All these times that you thought I've been writing down stuff that to hold against you, it's not. It's my marriage notes. I was working on a particular chapter, and my wife was at the library with a couple of the kids, homeschooling, and I'm right in there with them. And I put my pencil down, and I said, honey, I've been writing this marriage book for a while now. There's a lot in here that reminds me of you. And I said, I just want to tell you something. And she put her pen down and her face started to glow as she expected me to make the observation of what a wonderful wife she was. And I said, sweetheart, as I've been writing this book, I realized something. I realized how much better a wife you could be than you are. At which point, the security from the library had to come over and haul me out because she punched me in the head, knocked me off my chair. Actually, no, my wife broke up laughing. That's my wife, because she knew that's not what I meant. Bottom line is, You want to put it this way? I am over-chicked. I've gotten a woman that is far beyond anything I fair deserve. And I know this. However, the book is available now, and I just wanted to tell you about it because I know there's an awful lot of you out there who say, you know what? What can I do to make my marriage better? Now, there's bad news. You can't give the book to your spouse and say, read this. Hopefully it'll help you out. No, like all change, it has to begin with ourselves. But the good news is, this stuff ain't hard. It's not rocket science. It isn't something you're going to read and say, what? Oh, please, Dr. Roy, or whatever you are, get real. No, it's not like that. I think it has a very level-headed approach to the struggles we all face. So, let's get to your phone calls here in a second. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call. Get on to the program. We do have, looks like, got two lines open there. So, that would be good. I mean, good for you that you can get in. Not good for me because I don't have as wide a selection of the calls. Taking a break. Good Lord permitting. If my wife allows it, I will be back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Living your faith. This is Peggy Stanton with a message from the Order of Malta, a 900-year-old lay religious order of Catholic men and women who are dedicated to helping the sick and the poor. The saints have a way of seeing the deeper mystery of things. Dorothy Day is an American who will soon be canonized a saint for her dedication to the poor in the Bowery of New York City. She often spoke about the glory and the drudgery of motherhood. What mother ever considers the ugliness of cleaning up after her baby or her sick child? Mothers seldom advert to the drudgery of their role. Dorothy went on to compare a mother's self-sacrifice to the way the saints see the world around them. Saints see the world through the eyes of faith. They have the same perspective of a loving mother, she said. To the saints, everyone is a child in need, because to the saints, everyone is Christ. To learn more about the Order of Malta, visit our website, www.maltausa.org. Thank you.
For Christians, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, who died for the sins of the world and who rose from the dead in triumph over sin and death. For non-Christians, he's almost anything else. Pope Benedict XVI challenges both believers and unbelievers to decide who Jesus of Nazareth is and what he means for them. Jesus of Nazareth, from his transfiguration through his death and resurrection, is at the online store at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
Always wanted to play bass because the bass guys were always the coolest guys in the band. Bass guys always had their eyes closed. I always thought, how do they do that? But one time I went to see a blues group. I was really upset, really upset. I caught the one guy opening his eyes. He was cheating. You play blues, I mean, you can't open your eyes. You got to have them closed, like you're in some kind of alternate universe. But he was looking. What kind of blues player is this? All righty, let's go to... Well, I don't know if it's a mom or not. It's definitely a female. That's all she told me. From Toledo, Ohio, on line 3. I don't know if she knows she's on line 3. Are you there, Anonymous?
Yes, hello, Dr. Ray.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you?
You got that new Toledo station's been up for, what, a year or two?
I think about a year, maybe.
Okay, well, that's great. Glad to have you guys there.
Yeah.
This person that that had the affair and ruined her family. I assume that she and her husband are not together anymore.
As far as I know, they're separated. He has his own place. And I think her family is very much, you know, very, very Catholic, very strong family. So I think they're all continually trying to help her and work with her to bring her family back together. But I don't know. It's like one minute everything's fine. You know, one minute everybody's happy because, you know, maybe they're she's getting more involved in her faith. And then the next minute you hear she's, you know, still texting, you know, the person she was involved with.
Yeah, see, that was my question. If they're living apart and she still has contact with this relationship, and you said, as far as I know, that kind of implies you haven't really had any contact with her?
No. No.
How long?
We're not real close. We were real close when we were young, and then we were always good friends, but she moved away. So
right.
Now
so,
we're
so bottom
you know,
line is really, what are you going to do about it, right?
Yeah, how do I, when we have family functions, how do I handle her? Because I know there's a little bit of history and manipulation. For a year, she let me believe it was her husband that had the affair.
You handle her.
So I know she's gonna be all nicey-nicey. She's going to be on guard, too, because she's not going to know how I'm going to react to her. But
well,
how
long are these family get-togethers? 2 hours, four hours, 1 hour?
Probably 4 hours.
4 hours.
All afternoon, family weddings and things, you know, so it's all day.
And you're not going to sit there next to her and have a four-hour conversation. It's going to be she's one of the people that's there, right?
Right, right, because you want to love her, but
that's what
you don't want
her
to think that it's okay. Yeah.
Well, I got a feeling that she knows you don't think it's okay.
She already kind of knows.
Yeah,
I already told
if she
her
knows anything about you, she's going to know. And even if she doesn't know anything about you, most people still look at adultery, and our society doesn't call it that anymore, but that's what it is, as wrong, as something that shouldn't be done. So she knows.
Right.
Now the fact
she knows,
that
and that's why I think she's limited her contact with me too, because you know she knows how I feel, and she's not feeling like the best of people right now. She can't be so.
As much as you can, you be pleasant. Don't bring up the affair. Just don't say anything about it. It's not at this point a good place to go. You don't have a relationship with her. You're just going to essentially be pleasant, be kind, be conversational, if it comes to that, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is not something that you have to show your disapproval of in some kind of emotional distance or some kind of comments or some kind of opinions, because that's already been done. And the other problem you have with it is it's rare to get somebody to recognize and repent of their wrongdoing by being avoided, shunned, criticized, judged. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Mm-mm.
You know, you could go to her and say, what you're doing is wrong. And I'm quite surprised. And she will look at you and say, oh, well, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out to me. You know, I hadn't realized that. And the fact that you told me this is... well, it's really helped me rethink the situation. Thank you so much for being honest with me. Now, come on. You know as well as I do that this woman is in some kind of upheaval because many of the people around her are saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And yet her emotions and her passions and her desires and her weakness are driving her to cling to this other relationship. So at this point, what I would say, my dear, is just... act as though it hasn't really happened, and hopefully she and her husband are inching their way back towards reconciliation, and your approach to her. I know what you're worried about. I know what you're worried about. You don't want to send the wrong message. You don't want to be pleasant and nice and likable, and she'll interpret that as, oh, okay. Well, No. That's her interpretation. That's her misinterpretation. You know, when our Lord went and had dinner with... collectors and the prostitutes, you know, he didn't say, now come on, you guys, If you want me to eat dinner with you, you better stop what you're doing. As far as we know, he didn't do that. He went and ate with them, which was the closest form of association in those days. You know, it wasn't just, hey, I stopped out at Bob Evans and had a little breakfast with you. It was, no, this is close affiliation here. That's why it's such a scandal. Everybody's saying, what's he doing? These people are supposed to be shunned. Well, our Lord said, hey, in so many words, how are you going to win them over if you have no relationship with them? So, there you go, sweetie. Good luck, huh? All right, it's Dr. Ray. Let's see. I got time. Whoa, I better hold that one off for right now. Connie from Nebraska. Hey, Connie, this is Dr. Ray. How are you?
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, honey.
My question to you is, what kind of involvement do I have as a parent on an adult child who's in a relationship where my husband and I really see some, you know, danger signs? There's jealousy and possession, mistrust on the boyfriend's part that our daughter is involved in. Most recently, she went to get a second job to supplement her income, and the boyfriend told her, no, I don't want you taking that job. And it wasn't because he wanted to spend more time with her. It was because he was jealous and afraid that she would get involved with someone else. And I guess our struggle is, when do we step in, or do we step in? Do we talk to this young man and say, well, here's some stuff that's not healthy? You know, our daughter has said, yeah, I know, it's not healthy. So I guess that's my question is, when do you step in and when do you not?
Does she live at home?
No.
Okay. You have a pretty decent relationship with her?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then what I would do is, at opportune times, I would explore the nature of this relationship. I might say something like, honey, you said that you think this fella's possessive. Well, how possessive is he? Well, you know, sometimes he doesn't like me even looking at other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, is that okay with you? I mean, is that okay with you that he's like that? See, what you're going to do is you're going to get your daughter to explain what it is about this guy that is attractive, what it is that she thinks she has to put up with, this kind of stuff, to keep him.
Well, we have had that talk, her and I have. And, I mean, she'll say, I know it's unhealthy. I know it's not the way it should be. You know, and I've asked her, is this what you want? You know, she's 21, and, like, your relationship is moving towards marriage. You know, you're getting more serious. Is it okay with you that he's this way? No. And she's tried to bring it up, and he gets defensive, and he blames her, and, you know, it's all in your head, and yada, yada. But just recently when I, you know, mentioned this to her about the whole, you know, job thing, and I asked her, is it okay with you? You're okay with the relationship? No, she said, I'm not. And I think part of her connection with him is,
probably physical.
It is.
Yeah.
And I told her that. I said, you know, I encouraged her to consider a second vow of chastity.
Oh, he'd leave.
She wouldn't really respond to it.
And I'm up against a hard break here. But what I'm going to do is just hold you over for a little bit and give you a couple of thoughts on the other side of the break. One of the greatest difficulties of life. I'm a therapist. People pay me for my advice, and many don't listen. So can you imagine if you're not getting paid for your advice? If it's not sought, that's a struggle to get people to see what they're doing. Yipper. It's Dr. Ray. Be right back.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The Western Wall. Birthplace of Mary, floating in the Dead Sea. Camel rides. Me, Steve Ray, sharing along the way. Pray in the upper room. Go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Click on the Pilgrimage 2011 link and look for the tours coming up in February and June.
Share his agony in the garden. In the living stations of the cross at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament.
To pay your price, but not be crucified. Not crucified.
Experience his passion April 1st through the 17th.
Not crucified.
Tickets on sale now at AveMariaRadio.net.
Is in. That's the program you're tuned to accidentally or on purpose. Either way, IQ will be raised. If you do it on purpose, it'll go up faster. You will be more intent. Dr. Izin is produced by Ave Maria Radio Communications, Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a daily program, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, some 150 plus AM FM stations, as well as Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 160. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. I'm the host of this program, and, well, you know who you are, and you know who you are to call in. And I'm talking to Connie from Nebraska, has a 21-year-old daughter who doesn't live at home. And his 21-year-old daughter is enmeshed in a relationship with a guy, and Connie sees all kinds of warning signs. I mean, the average parent is much more wise about the ways of life than the average 21-year-old. And Connie sees this stuff. Daughter has a physical relationship with this boy, so that's pretty much clouding her emotional and cognitive judgment. Connie says, we've had talks about it. I've asked her. I've tried to get into her head on what it is about this guy that is so attractive. And she's open. She says she doesn't like the way he is. But, and that's a big but, unspoken is, well, I don't know, Mom, I love him, and, well, gosh, maybe I'll change him, and I know this is just stuff I have to accept. It's not pretty and it's ugly, but it's just not enough to stop me, Mom. And Connie's saying, what do I do? What do I do? Connie, there?
Yes.
Okay. I think at some point when you're in the midst of one of these fact-finding, motive-finding, emotion-finding queries, which is a good thing to do as a mother. You really got to get inside the kid's head. Don't challenge it. Don't defy it. Just say. Make them say out loud what is going on so that maybe they can hear themselves putting up with a lot of bad stuff. At some point, I would suggest you would say to your daughter, you say, sweetheart, look, I'm your mom. You know how much I love you. And you said all this. I know this, Connie, so forgive me for just, I'm just reiterating in here to get myself going. I'm scared for you. I'm really scared for you. I see a lot of warning signs here. I see things that are probably not going to go away. I see things that will get worse as this relationship deepens, and I'm telling you that. One thing I might suggest to you, please go no further toward marriage in this relationship as long as this stuff is still happening. As long as he's trying to control your life. Yes, at this point it doesn't sound like in any way, shape, or form you're going to rethink this relationship. So I guess what I'm asking you as a mother to think about is there's no need to move ahead to marriage, a lifelong commitment, while this is still happening. Please, if you can, wait and see where this all goes. Now, what's going to happen, Connie, you know it and I know it, is the kid's going to get worse. He's going to get more possessive. He's going to get angrier. And if you can convince her, or you can even persuade her, ask her this question. Sweetheart, what would happen if you said, I'm going to recommit myself to being chaste? How would he react? Oh, I don't think he'd like it at all. Sweetheart, what does that tell you? What does that say? Does that say he loves you and wants to wait to be with you? Or does that say he's got certain things he wants out of this relationship, and if you, because of your morals, say, I'm not going to do that anymore, will he say, well, I respect that, and I value that. And indeed, if that's what you wish, no. What'll happen is the little blow sky high off this thing, Connie. You know that.
Right.
Maybe you could even convince your daughter to do a little test, to simply say, try this for 3 months and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It may tell you a lot about what you're dealing with.
Okay.
Bless, Connie. Good luck with you. Okay?
You don't believe I should just go talk to him at all?
No! No! You're wasted. What are you going to do? Is he going to say, oh, gosh, gee, I talked to your mother. She sure made some observations about me that I don't agree with. And no. What you'll do is you'll probably drive a wedge between you and your daughter.
That's exactly right. And I did make that suggestion to her. I said, what's going to happen when they come? He doesn't want you to be around your family. And she goes, well, I would never allow that.
Well, yeah, but that's why you make her wait and see.
Okay.
Before she goes further in this. All righty?
Great. Thank you so much.
Good luck there, Connie. Man, that's hard to do. It's just hard to do. You watch your kid doing things that you know. Oh, they're fraught with all kinds of potential problems. And you want to take them by the shoulders and say, don't go there! And they look at you like, I know I shouldn't. I know, but I'm just pulled there. I'm just pulled in that direction. Hey, isn't that one of the toughest parts of being a loving parent? You can't just wash your hands of the kid and say, well, it's their life now. Whatever they want to do, they want to do. Unless, of course, they make that very clear. That's the way they want it. But in a relationship like this with Connie, where she sounds like she's got a great relationship with her daughter, Connie's got the heart of a mother here. She's looking at this saying, oh, don't. God bless her. She sounds like a very reasonable lady. Okay. Jamie from Salem, Oregon. Jamie, this is an interesting little scenario. Yes, it is. Your son's father, when you say, took my son away.
Actually, it was my father.
Your father?
My father kidnapped my older three children from me 11 years ago.
And you did nothing about it?
I lived in a different state. And I didn't know that's what he was doing. It was a trick.
After you realized you're not going to get your kids back, what did you do about it?
I went on a downward spiral and started doing drugs.
Okay, so you didn't challenge this in any way?
Oh, I did challenge it, but...
Legally? Like I said, legally?
Yeah, I did. I went to court and everything like that.
And
they used my epilepsy against me. It was just a bunch of...
All right, so the court awarded your father... custody.
No, actually, the court awarded my first ex-husband's mother guardianship of my children.
You know what? Something tells me the more questions I ask, the more confused I'm going to get.
Exactly.
Let's fast forward to today. You've reconnected, and is this your oldest son who is the atheist?
Yes, he's claiming to be atheist.
How old is he?
He just turned 15 on the 22nd of last month.
All right. Now, when you say reconnect, what does that mean?
His father put him in a foster home because he said he couldn't deal with him anymore and kept his two younger sisters. Told the state that I was dead, so they didn't look for me, but by the grace of God, I was told where he was, and I ended up calling the social services and have been in touch with them.
All right. So how much connection do you have with your son?
Right now, every other weekend, I get to talk to him on the phone for about a half hour to 45 minutes.
Okay.
And write letters to him and send him stuff and everything like that.
Okay, so he basically says, I don't think there's any God.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you got to figure, the kid probably has multiple struggles with life.
Right.
He's lived under deception. His father has essentially said, look, 15-year-old, I can't handle you. Get out of here. Get into foster care. So this is a kid who is maybe looking at God as, well, you know, if there is a God, he's not a very nice guy. And furthermore, I don't know if I've had a very good male role in my life. And my dad tells me my mom's dead. So this is pretty ugly. And he's thinking, I have no concept of what a good guy is supposed to be like. So therefore, if somebody tells me there's a father in heaven who loves me, he's like, what? I don't even know what that means. I would say that if you have the opportunity, Jamie, you first kind of form some relationship with your son that explains to him a little bit about what happened, a little bit about how you're different, a little bit about why you're different. Obviously, your faith has been a huge factor in you turning from a lot of the ways that you had.
Right.
Okay, so you lay some of that groundwork. You don't lecture him, you don't go on and on. And then at some point, you ask him, how were you raised? How was it that you've decided that God doesn't exist, or you don't know that he exists? Many people call themselves atheists when really what they are is agnostics. They don't make a judgment either way. So you have to ask him, well, how'd you come to that point, son?
Well, I never went to church. I mean, God, what is this some big guy with a gray beard who sits up there and just kind of tells you what you're not supposed to do?
Yeah, well, see, he used to be able to go to church, but then it was used as a punishment against him that if he did something wrong, he wasn't allowed to go to church or wasn't allowed to go to youth group or anything like that. So
well, that's in a way, that's kind of good because he may see that something that he liked and enjoyed and was attracted to was, well, what's the word I'm looking at? Put off limits to him. And he may, as he gets older, start to wonder, why? Why was it put off limits? What was my father afraid of? Why wouldn't he let me? Why would he take this from me? And maybe you can use that as a bit of an angle. You can say, would you have wanted to continue to go to youth group and church if you would have been allowed?
Yeah, I liked it there.
What was it about it?
Oh, no. It was fun.
Yeah, I know it was fun, but did you believe in God then?
Yeah.
So what happened to make you decide that you don't believe so much in God now?
Oh, no. I got older, and I just didn't think he cared about me.
So you got to find out what's in his head, Jamie. There's going to be a lot of stuff inside that head that you kind of got to scrape to the surface. And be patient. Don't be quick to go, well, you know, but there is a God. There is a God. You know, he's worked wonders in my life. Just be patient.
Yeah.
Slow down. Remember, you don't have the strongest of relationships with his kid.
Right.
So as a result, you just got to ever so slowly show him you do love him. You're so sad for the way things turned out, but thank God, and you do thank God, that you are back with your son in some way.
Oh,
you also got
every day.
Yeah, that's great, sweetheart. And you also got to realize that if he's placed in foster care by his dad, he's got to feel a real sense of abandonment, a real sense of, you know what, kid, I'm done with you.
Uh-huh.
And so that makes it real hard to come to this supposed God who is a father, who loves you unconditionally, and who is going to make your life better if you let him. Yeah, he's at age 50, and he's got a lot of hostility percolating around in there. And
yeah.
I think maybe you work your way through some of that. And possibly get him to a good Christian counselor or a priest who can answer some of his questions.
Well, that's
definitely
sure. Because I have to have counseling and go to counseling and stuff and parenting classes before
okay.
So I'll allow him to come stay with
good.
Me and my grandma.
You do what you got
to
do.
I'm going to my church as my counseling and everything.
There you go. Jamie, you do what you got to do, dear. You're putting your life back together. You're getting your son back in your life ever so slowly, one step at a time. Remember, God loves that kid a lot more than you do.
Okay.
Thank you, Jamie. God bless
Thank
you for
you
putting
much,
it putting it back together. All right, when we come back, more calls up there. Be delighted to take them. This is Dr. Ray here on the... before I take the break, let me do this. I want to do this. Catholic Radio in South Carolina. This is Mediatrix SC. Has added a third station to their portfolio, WLTQ. 7:30 a.m. is a 5,000 watt. When you're down at 7:30 on a frequency and 5,000 watts, you got to reach. It's a daytime broadcast covering the South Carolina coast from Charleston, which is a stunningly beautiful town, through Hilton Head, Beaufort, on down to Savannah, Georgia. My daughter is stationed in, Fort Gordon. Fort Gordon, Georgia. We have had reports from listeners as far down the coast as St. Augustine. All right. So, Dr. Ray, I have heard you mention new affiliates on your show, and we'd invite you to mention our new station as you deem appropriate. I deem it past. Really want to welcome WLTQ, 7:30 a.m., 5,000-watt boomer. And then they got two others. They got WCKI, which is 1,300 a.m., which is upstate South Carolina, and WQIZ, which is 810 a.m., low country South Carolina. Great, you guys. Ginger, all of you, keep it up there at Mediatrix SC, Inc. This is Dr. Ray. Be back.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Attention, an important message from a Catholic lawyer.
Hi, my name is Michael Mack. I'm an attorney, and I'm also Catholic. Since 1998, I've been helping other Catholics wipe out credit card debt without bankruptcy. I've helped thousands of people become debt-free who now have peace of mind.
Mike saved our family $76,000 in credit card debt, and we avoided bankruptcy. Day by day, the relief keeps coming.
My guarantee is this. I will wipe out your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, or you don't pay me a dime. Maybe that's why I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call me. Let's talk about how to eliminate your credit card debt without bankruptcy. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. Let me go to work for you right now without paying a dime up front. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000.
What makes the miracles of Jesus even more miraculous? Standing where they happened, in Israel. Come visit Cana, where Jesus transformed water into wine. Sail the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water. Celebrate the Holy Eucharist throughout the land where Jesus lived. To learn more about standing where it all happened, in Israel, the Holy Land, visit GoIsrael.com. Come visit Israel. You'll never be the same.
Welcome back, but I hesitate to say that. Maybe you're not back. Maybe you left. Maybe you're not even hearing anything I'm saying. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. I'm starting to sound like a father. I don't just talk to hear myself talk, you know. I'm not going to say this again. You listen up and you listen good. Don't look at me that way. You keep those looks to yourself. Okay. C.S. Lewis quote. Pride is a perpetual, nagging temptation. Yes, it is, C.S. Keep knocking it on the head. But don't be too worried about it. This is my favorite line. As long as one knows one is proud, one is safe from the worst form of pride. Ooh, good one. Good one. Carlos, Sacramento, California. Carlos, if I remember correctly, here's the situation. Your young son has night terrors. You were going to go to Mexico to get medication, Tofranil, which is a tricyclic antidepressant. Your pediatrician said, yeah, no doctors in the U.S. will do that. You got to go to Mexico. And I suspect that's not true. Night terrors are, I don't want to say they're common, but they're not unusual among boys in particular. They take place during delta sleep, which is the deepest stage of sleep, and that's why you got this kind of confusion. They are hard to awaken. They are hard to reassure. They typically are outgrown. It is what is called a sleep parasomnia. Your concern is about the side effects of the medication for your son, correct?
That's correct. Also, the doctor didn't recommend us to go to Mexico. We went there because she told us that they were not going to do any treatment.
And I don't understand that. I don't want to second-guess your doctor at all, but I don't understand that. I'm familiar with many doctors.
Yeah, that's what we were concerned about, it, and that's why we searched for another alternative, and we found out that this doctor in Mexico, she could help us. And now when we told his pediatrician about it, he's like, well, you know what, just get him off that medication, and that's it. And so she didn't even offer us an alternative.
I would get a second opinion, because there are other medications. There are other tricyclic antidepressants. It's an older line medication. It's been around quite a while, 30, 40, 50 years, maybe more. I am not a medical doctor, so what you need to do is talk to a medical person, maybe a pediatric neurologist, okay? Go to your local children's hospital and make an appointment and say, here's a problem we have with night terrors. We had tried Tofranil at 10 milligrams. There were some unpleasant side effects. Do we have any other options?
Well, we haven't experienced any side effects. We just want to know if there will be any.
You can't know that. You can't know that until you attempt to use the medication. For most kids, there are not.
He has used it for almost 2 years now, and it has worked.
Well, if there are going to be side effects, almost always with medications, the side effects occur in the very early days of usage. Okay, by and large, you don't run up against side effects that occur later, anywhere near as commonly as when you first prescribe the drug. Okay, so
just because the pediatrician told us, you know, just get him off the medication, and we were not sure about it because, I mean, like.
Well, I cannot give you advice, Carlos, to in any way second guess your pediatrician. I can't do that. What I can say is you can ask your pediatrician, why did you want us to get him off the medication? And if he or she says, well, it's because you're worried about side effects. But if there are no side effects, then I don't know where your worry's coming from. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Good luck, sir. Bye-bye. Very quickly, Eleanor, a quick comment for Connie from Nebraska. Connie had concerns about her 21-year-old daughter dating a very possessive, jealous kind of guy. Connie sees red flags all over the place, has a decent relationship with her daughter. So Eleanor says, Dr. Ray, I got advice. Hi, Eleanor.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I went through the same situation with my daughter, only I didn't have a good relationship with her, and she was hostile, and she'd hang up the phone on me, and she wouldn't listen, and she wouldn't do anything. So I thought I have to take a different tactic. And what I did was say, fine, if you enjoy him, because he would go out and play golf all day and leave her in the apartment dog sitting.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to rush you along here. What did you do?
And so what I did was say, fine, I love you, and I think you deserve better. I think you deserve a guy that will open car doors for you. I think you deserve this. I think you deserve that.
Okay.
And eventually, years of praying, she moved on, and she's married to a guy that opens car doors.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if it was so much your approach that said, I love you and you deserve better, as that you stopped nagging her.
Yeah.
Probably all of the hanging up and all of the not wanting to talk to mom is that she just didn't want to hear it from you anymore.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, and that's what happened, dear. And when you stopped that, that in and of itself was probably healthy because it kept you from pushing her further away, but it also made her look at personally what she was doing. You, my dear, stumbled upon a great approach. Thanks, Eleanor. Good stuff. Thank you, dear. Anonymous from Columbus, Ohio, has 6 children, and she hasn't told me any of their names either because she wants to keep it anonymous. Hi, Anonymous. How are you?
Oh, hi. Yes, I'm anonymous because I heard if we call in about a friend, then we can do that. I have a friend.
Oh, so wait a minute. Is this your scenario or your friend's?
Yes. Which do you want to hear?
Well, you have 6 kids. How many of them are teens?
The oldest 2.
Oldest 2. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And they.
Shortly coming up, some teens and down to 1 year old.
They wrangle with you, huh? Always, always arguing, always questioning, always debating, always just carrying on about your decisions.
Well, it can be as simple as, like, our situation last night was we said, okay, it's dinner time now. Get off the piano. And we want immediate compliance. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And get off the piano instead of, well, I have 5 more minutes. I just need to do this. Or, you know, I just give me a minute or whatever. There's always some excuse about, no, it wasn't me touching him and whatever. And so my question is to you, how much leeway do we give them to explain themselves, or do we want immediate compliance? And that's what happens. I think my husband and I differ, and one of us wants immediate compliance, and the other gives them a little room to talk. I don't know if you can guess who's
well,
who.
Well, yes, but. I can. Mr. Reasonable.
No, it's probably as opposite, I think.
You are
my husband
the one
wants
who?
Immediate compliance.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
You know, I'm the, I know what they're talking about, and so I'd like to give them a moment to talk. And so my
dear,
thinks,
you answered your own question.
Uh-oh.
Yes, you did.
I did?
Yes.
That's why you kept me till the end of the show, because I really didn't have luck.
You said, well, they basically argue over everything. Okay? Now, by saying that, you said this is not an isolated incident. This is not a, oh, yeah, once every 3 weeks I tell them to get off the piano and they have a good reason for not wanting to get off the piano. And so they wrangle a little bit and then 5 minutes later they get off the piano. No. You said this is a recurrent pattern.
Yes.
When I make a request. That's right. Multiple times a day. When I make a request, however legitimate, however reasonable, however kind I am, they're going to argue with me.
Yes.
You know, it isn't a matter of your husband wanting immediate compliance. It's a matter of how much arguing are you going to take? Because you've had years of them basically debating your decision.
Yes, that's why. Yes, exactly.
So what I would suggest is you got to move into a bit of an either or. For example, let's just use the piano thing.
Okay.
Sweetheart, look, I'm asking you to stop right now. If you don't, then you're going to bed early. You're not going to sit there and argue. You are not going to engage. Because, my dear, no offense, but how many years of arguing from your children do you need to endure before you go, hey, wait a minute, I'm being argued with. Right.
Yeah. And I don't want the younger ones who don't argue yet to start.
Well, unless they're not argumentative by nature, you got a pretty good chance this is the way it's done in the house, and I'm getting there when it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest is that you do what my wife did. She used this mostly with me, but I think it works with kids too.
Yes.
You look at your daughter, your son, whomever, whatever it's about, and you go, are you arguing? Now, as soon as you say, are you arguing, that means please stop.
Mm-hmm.
And cooperate. or I'm going to do something about it. That's it. I'm not going to argue about what I'm going to do about it because it's already done. When I ask you if you're arguing, no, no, I'm not arguing. See, I love that one. Are you arguing? No, I'm not arguing. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You are arguing. I'm not arguing. You're right.
Have you been in our house?
Right, right. So because of that, there's no ultimate compliance here. There's no, Mother, I know we've argued for the last 11 minutes, and I'm recognizing that your reasoning makes a lot of sense. As a matter of fact, it makes a lot more sense than mine does. And so what I'd like to do here is cooperate. And then forgive me for protracting this negotiation. I am sorry. So what might I do to make it up to you? You want me to wash the dishes because I gave you such grief before coming to supper? That's probably happened a lot, right, dear? Yeah, I know. Your answer answers. Right. So the bottom line is you're going to have to sit them all down and say, you know what, guys, I'm sorry. We're just way too much arguing in this house. This is not good. Arguing doesn't lead to goodwill. It leads to ill will. So here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I may let your dad take over if I can't get up enough gumption to stop you. And second of all, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to write a 500-word essay on cooperation. We can't do this anymore. This is not a good way to interact as a loving family. Not good.
Uh-huh.
All right, now, I'm just hoping here, Dare, you're not going to argue with me about this.
No, sir.
Bless your heart, honey. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. You know why we argue? Well, we argue because we hold on to this vain hope that they're going to see that we're reasonable. We're reasonable. I'm not doing this to be tyrant parent of the decade. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because why can't we all just get along? Come on, you guys. I don't want to argue. And then at some point, oh, maybe between 10 minutes from now and 2084, they will respond. Oh, thank you, Mother. It's so clear to me now. Michael rowed the boat ashore. Those of you who are on the line, you're up next time. David, that's a great question. Please call me with that one. That's a great one. This is Dr. A here. Good Lord permitting. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Andrew Kruchek, for phone picking up and all that stuff. Walk with God. You got kids? Hold them tight by the hand.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Sports Investment Council, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The Western Wall. Birthplace of Mary, floating in the Dead Sea.